Oh, yes, from Time Team, Time Walks, and a few TV series, including Baldrick from Blackadder, in the studio, in the country, for a tour of duty, Sir Tony Robertson. Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Welcome, welcome to Triple J.
Don't you like those drums in that Time Team music?
Rousing.
Dum-dum, but the dum-dum.
It predated Game of Thrones by quite a few years, but it has a similar rousing chorus, I think.
Yes. I'd like to think of Time Team as the factual version of Game of Thrones.
Slightly more accurate version of Game of Thrones. Heaps less dragons.
I'm the lady with the dragons.
You are. You're, was it Daenerys?
Yeah,
you are Daenerys. Beautiful. I would like to... I'm sure at some point there will be a melding of Time Team and Game of Thrones into some beautiful world.
I would like, and with me and Daenerys, I would.
I'm sure. Maybe your eggs will survive the fire.
I think we
whatever.
Should move on to serious interview
okay,
now, don't you?
Well, tell me, you've been in Australia looking, uncovering, I guess, the effects of war on parts of Australia and memorabilia.
That's right, yeah.
You had a sort of a meet and greet in Newcastle on the weekend. What sort of stuff did you find?
Everywhere we go, we find intensely kind of dramatic and personal stuff that nobody knows about. Mm-hmm. I feel that when we leave each town, we've kind of given them a new history, if you know what I mean, that just so much is recognised. My favourite of all, I think, and I think this was in, might have been in, it's either in Ballarat or Launceston. I've been to loads.
Yeah.
It's been a rock and roll tour this one. I mean, you know, new week, new place. There's this guy. He was shot up on in the Western Front, taken back to England to be hospitalised, patched up together again. A couple of months later, he's put back in the old kit that he had on when he was shot up and put on the train back to France. He puts his hand into the pocket of his greatcoat, which he hasn't worn since the day he was shot.
Yeah.
And in it, he finds the little notebook that he always carried round with him, right over his heart. And there is a German bullet hole in the front cover of it. He opens it up. The photo of his girlfriend is on page one. The bullet hole goes through that. Page two is poems that he wrote. Bullet hole through that. Then clippings from newspapers on and on and on. This hole goes. And you can imagine me seeing it for the first time, turning over these pages. And then when you get to the end page, there's like the little bit of cardboard at the end of it. Was a squashed German bullet. It had run out of energy just at the very final moment and stopped him from dying.
My goodness. He must have been very happy that he did have the clippings put in there, giving it a bit of extra thickness, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What was it like seeing that kind of thing?
Well, it's awful, really, because like when you're a television maker, I'm turning over these pages thinking, wow, this is good television.
yes.
It's a couple of days later, really, before the real emotional impact wallops you.
When you were hearing that story of the gentleman and his great coat and the notebook, at any point did you think back to the final episode of Blackadder the Third when Blackadder was facing off against the Duke of Wellington? Let me bring you back to when he was shot by cannon.
His Highness is dead.
Actually, I'm not sure I am. Fortunately, that cigarillo box you gave me was placed exactly at the point the cannonball struck. I always said smoking was good for you.
I had totally forgotten that moment. Oh, I'd tell you something weird about that.
Mm-hmm.
In Newcastle, on Saturday, I'm filming at the museum. Hugh Laurie is playing a gig. Hugh, who I've not seen for about 8 years.
The Prince Regent.
George. Yeah, I hadn't seen George. I hadn't seen Hugh since he was poor. and he's playing a gig at the theatre next door. So I went to see the gig, went round to see him afterwards. And it was lovely because we just... you know how it is with someone like you've been to school or uni with?
Yeah.
You immediately get back into exactly that same relationship, don't you?
Wow.
Within like two sentences. And it was just... so nice to see him again. But he said the same thing to me. People quote Blackadder at him. He can't remember the damn thing.
It was a long time ago. The end of the 80s is when it all happened.
That's right, yeah.
So you pretty much got back into that level of humour.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But we were all the same. We were terribly serious boys. And half the time it would be... just bum humour. And the other half of the time, it would be politics, philosophy, sociology.
In the studio, Sir Tony Robinson. We were just talking about Hugh Laurie, who's in town at the moment, part of the cast of Blackadder and someone that you hadn't seen for ages but spent so much time with.
And I'm going up to Frio in 2 weeks' time to have a barbecue with Ben Elton. It's weird, isn't it?
This is
who's in the house?
Well, you know who is in the house. Adrian Edmondson was just touring with the Bad Shepherds, his band.
I didn't know Abe was over here.
But it's interesting how your lives took different paths. You became a sir. Hugh became a doctor for a bit. Do you have any musical aspirations?
Well, I was a choir boy. I read music. If you put the dots in front of me and I can sing them straight off, which is has always been lovely. I've always felt that the way I think about writing, the way I think about script, is very musical. There's no difference between the laying out of the words and the laying out of the piece of music.
So like the lyrical sort of nature.
Absolutely. I used to do a kids series called Maid Marian and Her Merry Men.
She certainly did.
And I wrote all the lyrics for all those songs and was always absolutely determined that there should be this kind of seamless relationship between the comedy, the narrative and the music.
Is there a song about mud, I seem
there
to recall?
There is, yeah.
That's you, that's wonderful. Now, what brought you to your love for archaeology and history and the way that the world became what it is?
My dad, talking to me when I was a kid, he would just tell me stories about the war. He wasn't a hero in the war, but he was a working class boy away from home for the first time. I'm passionate about mums and dads talking to their kids about what happened to them in the past, because I think that way, I mean, this is quite a poncy way of saying it, and I certainly wouldn't have articulated it.
You're a knight, it's okay.
I'm allowed to. I think that if you can give a kid that sense that they're not an isolated atom on the planet, but they're part of that overall arc of time and all the adventures that humans have had over thousands and thousands of years, it really helps you to understand who you are.
And I think maybe a lot of these days everything's so concerned with what's happening right now, you know, what my friends are doing, you know, around the world or, you know, on social media right now, and not actually thinking about how we got to this place.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And only by seeing how you got to this place can you begin to understand where you might go to next. You know, like the Afghan War. Mm. Now, anybody who has read anything about the Afghan wars that were fought between the UK and the Afghans in the 19th century would never have gone into Afghanistan. The mistakes that have been made in Afghanistan, the places that we've fought in, the people that we have been fighting against, they're all the same. And we've still made the same classic errors.
I'm pretty sure someone may have said something about us being condemned to repeat our past.
I think somebody did once,
But this, I was just talking to Angus, who is a bit little younger than me. He does our social media here. He, in history class, they would show episodes of Blackadder as ways of introducing people to history. And I guess, in a way, if you then went and corrected a few of the errors in Blackadder, it was a good way of doing it.
Yeah, the British Minister of Education has said that he doesn't think that Blackadder Goes Forth should be shown in schools. So I've been having a bit of a spat with him, as you can imagine. It's been enormous fun because it's the dumbest thing to say. He says that it misrepresents the officer class. It's disrespectful to the ordinary soldiers who died.
As if Hugh Laurie isn't the most perfect depiction. Stephen Fry, I should say, the perfect person to play an officer.
Absolutely, yeah. But he was nonsensical.
Angus was saying his history teacher would play the very last episode of Blackadder Goes Forth and say, especially when it's Baldric and it's Blackadder and it's Darling and George, you all go up over the front. That final thing is like one of the most chilling and accurate depictions of what would happen in the war.
We spent the whole week debating who should die.
Wow.
Because we were always recreating the scripts during the rehearsal week. Uh-huh. And it was only I think originally it was just going to be Blackadder and me. Then we realised that actually, particularly the junior officer class, which Hugh Laurie represented, had a much higher attrition rate than either the senior officers or the ordinary soldiers. Because by and large, they were the ones waggling the big stick going, come follow me, lads, over the top.
Which Hugh Laurie played beautifully. Yeah.
And then we realised that, of course, just because he was a nasty man didn't mean that Darling shouldn't die. You see, what we had said from the... And I remember Ben Elton was, in particular, was very strong about this. We must make it clear that we are not taking the piss out of the sacrifice that people made. Mm. We are taking the piss out of the madness that led to that happening. And we need to state that absolutely clearly. And that was what that final episode was all about. Mm. Having said that, you didn't need to have to wallow in that emotion anymore. You just, yeah, like we were talking about earlier, you just needed to get it right.
And have Ben Elton on board to write some of the greatest insults ever committed to television.
Indeed.
Yeah. That was pretty much when he came on board the second series, that was pretty much his job, wasn't it? That's insults.
Right. Yeah, although people think that they can identify the lines that Ben wrote as distinct from the lines that Richard Curtis wrote. Actually, what happened was within 3 weeks, they were parodying each other. So often the most obviously Ben jokes actually are Richard jokes.
What about, actually, someone tweeted me about this as well, actually. His name is Damn Unemployed No Wait on Twitter. He remembered when you finally got to turn the cunning line around as Baldrick in Back and Forth.
Baldrick, I have a very, very, very cunning plan.
Is it as cunning as a fox, what used to be Professor of Cunning at Oxford University, but has moved on and is now working for the UN at the High Commission of International Cunning Planning?
Yes, it is.
Cunning.
The UN in the First World War. That's a very strange piece of writing.
But you got away with it. Got away with it. So when are we going to see the tour of duty in Australia?
It'll be in the first quarter of next year. Don't know exactly when. 10 towns and cities in Australia and New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And it's the war experience is seen through the eyes of those 10 cities. And I think it's going to be quite good. On Saturday up at Newcastle, I was interviewing a guy who was 15 when he joined the forces, joined the army for the Second World War. Obviously, he wasn't supposed to. He lied about his age. 15 and 2 months, he left Australia. 15 and 4 months, he is a prisoner of war in Southeast Asia, and he stayed in a POW camp for 4.5 years. By the time he came back, he was still a teenager. And you can imagine what he suffered during those 4.5 years. And he's a very old man now. And so funny. Mm-hmm. He's decided that either that experience gets on top of him or he gets on top of it. Ever since then, that was Saturday, and well, I can't even remember what day it is today, but I've just been processing that whole experience and different things that he said to me just keep coming into my mind. And it's like he's there still and his narrative is there, which is, I guess, what great storytelling does, doesn't it?
And you've still got a few towns left. Toowoomba this Sunday, yeah. Fremantle and Darwin, which you've never been.
No, I've never been there. I'm looking forward to them. I don't suppose you saw the headline in the Northern Territories.
Yes, I did. I believe, is it, I've got a packer up my clacker? Yes. I thought they should have gone. They said, who wants to beat a millionaire?
Yeah,
which would have been better, but it was in context because they'd had a few months ago, someone had been hospitalized for putting a firecracker up his bum. And so that was cracker up my clacker. So, yes, that was continuing their line of humour. Good. I'm glad you're in Australia for that.
Yes. It was right across from where I'm staying in Bondi. It was like it was 20 yards away from my apartment.
My goodness. Dear, oh dear. I mean, you of course, being part of nobility now, you'd see that sort of stuff every day.
Well, I have to take part in it most days.
You were the person who broke them up. Yeah. Sorry. All right. If you are in Darwin and you've got something to suggest for Sir Tony Robinson, let us know on Twitter. I'll try and get it onto him. So thanks for coming in. You're doing very well. You're a sir. Although you were knighted once again in season 3 of Blackadder as well as Baldrick.
Yeah.
Was it just for your work in writing the English, in helping with the English dictionary that you got knighted?
You mean the real knighthood?
Yes, yes.
You never know. You're never told why.
Has Rowan Atkinson hasn't been knighted? Hugh Laurie?
No. Rowan's got CBE.
Okay. That's just for racing fast cars, isn't it? Isn't that what he does these days? Just races cars all over the place? Anyway, so thank you so much for coming in. It's an absolute pleasure.
Lovely to
have a lovely time for the rest of your time in Australia.
Cheers. Thank you.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.